Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. Health and wellness on Point of View.
Thank you so much for being with us. 7 minutes after 9 o'clock, it's a Monday, and we do have our health and wellness feature on a Monday. So I am sure you may not even know what it looks like, but you have been hearing a lot about this drug called Ozempic. And you are probably asking yourself, what is it? Where is it? How can I get it? Should I get it? Am I a good candidate? And. Is it in South Africa? Is it here legally? We decided to get a dietitian, Dr. Kaylin Goodchild, to help us navigate this very, what is very underground kind of a conversation. And we thought, okay, let's bring it up to the fore, in the open, and get the truth about Ozempic. Thank you so much, Doc, for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Hi, Pamela. Thanks for having me.
All right. So let's just maybe upfront ask you, what is Ozempic?
Yes, that's a very good place to start. So Ozempic is an injectable medication that was made for diabetics, so type 2 diabetics, and it was made to improve their sugar levels. That's truly what Ozempic is.
Okay. And what is the difference between, you know, other medication we've had before to treat diabetes and where we are right now, why this one is getting all this attention?
Yes, so Ozempic, most people don't really know it for its diabetic uses. Mm. We know it more as a weight loss drug. Mm. And the reason it's quite popular, I think it really got mostly popular because of all the celebs that were using it. Kim Kardashian, Elon Musk, Oprah. We just saw everyone suddenly becoming like super slim. And we found out later that this was Ozempic. So it's popular because of its weight loss side effects. It wasn't actually truly made for weight loss. It's that's why it's so popular. And other diabetic medications have not had these major results. That's really what we're looking at.
Mm. And, you know, you make the point that the weight loss is a side effect, as, you know, it's not necessarily the reason it was put on the shelves, but now it's a side effect. Is it safe for people who are not diabetics, who are not type 2 diabetics, to be using this medication?
So there are a few risks you have to consider before you just dive into it for weight loss, because there can be some hectic side effects if you're not careful. So let's look at, if you're not a diabetic, one of the biggest side effects that you might get is that you might get into a state of hypoglycemia. So that means your sugar levels really hit a low. Worst case scenario, you go into a coma. That's a worst case that can happen if your sugar levels get too low. If we look at the drug in general and the side effects in general, so whether you should take it or shouldn't take it, diabetic or not, there are some side effects that you have to consider. So the biggest, most hectic one would be the thyroid cancer. And they literally said on their website that Ozempic might increase your risk for cancer or tumors, and specifically thyroid cancer.
Why would that be the case? What is it about it that would trigger a thyroid problem?
I'm not 100% sure of the biochemistry like behind the scenes, but if we look at it, it's actually like it's a synthetic hormone.
Okay.
So it's going to affect a lot in your body, and they seem to have picked up this thyroid cancer risk.
Mm. And so is it easily available in South Africa? As a drug that treats diabetes, I believe that it is available sort of relatively easily, or am I wrong?
No, you are correct. So you do need a script. There are some off-market sales of Ozempic, which are not recommended. You have to be extremely careful what you do there. But if we look at it, it is, you need a script from a GP, from a doctor. And honestly, what I've seen is doctors don't only prescribe it for diabetes. I've seen doctors prescribe it for weight loss, which is really not what it was created for.
And, you know, are we likely to see counterfeits on the market? Are we seeing that already?
Yes, we are seeing that already. We are seeing even the real deal being sold like behind the scenes. So it's getting a little bit slippery. And it's because there is such a high demand. And what also happened, there was a season where because the demand was so high, they ran out of stock. And that's where I think a lot of the problems started, where people were doing these off-market things because the desperation was huge, because they knew if I stop this, I might gain my weight back.
Mm. I mean, for those who are using it for weight loss purposes, what are the things to look out for? So we obviously don't want you to have to be in a coma already, but what are the signs that you should be looking out for to know that you're probably now walking into a danger zone?
The biggest things I've seen, so even in practice of clients using it, it's mostly their GI symptoms, so the gastrointestinal symptoms. So things like nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, stomach pains, constipation, that's mostly the trouble. So you actually might just not feel so good when you're on these meds. That's the huge side effect, is it delays, it's called delayed gastric emptying. So that means it slows down your digestion. So it helps you feel fuller for longer, and it decreases your appetite. So that is going to come with some gut issues. So I do see a lot of clients being nauseous. You just don't want to eat, so you don't eat, so you lose weight. And that's what it really comes down to. But your GI symptoms are a big one. And then also muscle loss. That is quite a dangerous side effect. So whether you're diabetic or not, because these people are skipping meals, and mm-hmm. they're skipping main meals, they skip a lot of their protein. So when they lose weight, they lose muscle weight, which is not the weight you want to lose. You're looking to lose fat. But if you don't have the knowledge regarding the use of Ozempic, you could find that your weight loss journey is not so appealing.
And, you know, should one be aware? How does one sort of get to know that what I'm taking is probably not the legitimate medicine? This is a counterfeit one. Are there any markers? How would one know?
I think there you do have to just make sure you're buying it from a reputable pharmacy and you got a script from a real doctor with a medical degree. Just don't buy it from a random place. Don't buy it on Facebook Marketplace. Don't do those obvious mistakes. Get it like you would get a normal medication. The side effects from taking the off-market drugs, I think those can get a little bit scary. I'm not sure exactly what they are, but there you're going to really, you're going to put yourself in a dangerous spot.
Are there alternatives, or is this the kind of drug that somehow in its makeup, it has maybe unlocked something quite revolutionary, in the sense that, yes, if people were using it for the right reasons and they are really type 2 diabetics, it's a revolutionary medicine?
That's a tricky one. I'm actually so torn, because I see how incredible it can be, and I see how it can help people, even the non-diabetic people. But there's also just the risks. And for me, it's not even the nausea and the vomiting and those risks. It's actually more of, it's only revolutionary if it assists you in the long run. That's actually what any kind of weight loss, whether you're taking a medication, whether you're following a plan, whatever you're doing, it has to help you in the long run. Interestingly, what Ozempic also mentions on their site, they say that obviously it's a treatment for diabetes as an adjunct to diet and exercise. So they specifically say, don't just take this like a quick fix to sort your problem. They're telling us in advance, you need diet and exercise when you use this drug. And that is my biggest concern. And that's why, where I say, I don't think I can call it revolutionary, because there's some work in the background that we have to do when we're on it.
Mm. And that work in the background is work that you would anyway advocate for, even if one is not on Ozempic.
Yeah, absolutely. So when a client comes in saying, listen, I'm on Ozempic or Trulicity or Saxenda, whatever the case may be, I'm somewhat proud of them for still coming in to know, oh gosh, I have to change my lifestyle as well. I'm on this tool, it's a weight loss tool, but I still know that there's going to be a time I'm likely going to get off of this drug. What steps do I need to have in place? What lifestyle changes do I have to develop now to assist me in the long run, to make sure whatever weight I lose now with my weight loss tool, that I'm going to keep it off in the long run? That is really what we need.
So what are our people's biggest mistakes that are not necessarily, people who are being irresponsible, that just information that we probably just don't know when it comes to trying to manage weight or weight loss itself?
So we are a very instant gratification kind of population or generation. And when we put in the work, I remember when I actually started getting serious with my basically fat loss and my gymming and my muscle building. I remember I gave it my all for 2 weeks and I was so excited to take progress pictures because I'm like, oh my gosh, these are going to be so incredible. And when I looked at them, I was like, oh my goodness, I see no change. And this is the thing, is we want to put in 2 weeks or 1 month or 2 months to see huge results, which is actually not the reality. You have to keep on sticking with your meal plan, getting tips on how to eat healthy, getting some recipes, making gym or walking or some sort of exercise part of your lifestyle, and to stick with it and not just swap over to the next best thing when your sister does it or when you see it in a magazine or you see it on Facebook. Don't just jump. You should be seeing a dietitian that's a healthcare professional that has studied weight loss. Also, you need to find one that sits well with you. So it's like a psychologist. Some of them work for you, some of them don't. Maybe there's some trial and error. But you need to stick it through. You mustn't expect massive changes in a short time. You need some patience and you need consistency.
So, you know, you make such an interesting point when you say it's a little bit like getting a psychologist. Some will work for you, some will not. And so how would you know? You know, because people often who fail at this think it's me, you know, I'm the one who's not disciplined, I'm the one who doesn't have what it takes, I'm not, and the blame obviously begins with you. How would you know that this is not the dietitian for you?
I think it also comes down to their approach. So I've had clients come in where they've really had horrible experiences with previous dietitians. Maybe they're a little bit harsh, they had a more intense kind of way of working with their weight loss journey. And then they might find a dietitian that's a lot more friendly, a lot more encouraging. We use different styles. So it's kind of to find the style that works for you. If you go into the dietitian's office and you are like sweating bullets and you are just so anxious, that's probably not so cool for you. But if you walk in there or you walk out of the office like, oh, I'm encouraged, this is what I need to do, she helped me break it down into like, okay, this is my next step, we're going to check in 2 weeks, then you feel a bit motivated. So also in the sessions, what's so nice is you pick up, why is the person struggling? Is it that they are in a dip? Is it that they're not aware of how many calories are in nuts, for example? So you sit with the person and you see what is their problem and you highlight that to them, that they don't feel like a failure, that they know, oh goodness, I actually need to eat one full handful of nuts and not seven handfuls. So you just assist. It can be such an incredible journey just to have someone kind of holding your hand while you do it.
Do we need to talk about just how sometimes we're not anyway built the same and the expectations should be realistic to how certain people are built and how certain people, their metabolism or whatever their DNA makeup is probably going to allow them to lose weight even faster. They may be doing the same thing, but maybe one will be losing weight faster than the other.
Yeah, you are 100% correct. So based on your genetics, based on your medical conditions, based on your sleep, your stress levels, there are so many factors that affect your weight loss. So you can't see a client and say, oh, you didn't lose weight because you didn't follow the meal plan. It's not that simple. There are so many factors. So you are correct in saying they're going to lose weight at different rates and all of that. But it is, what's so nice is no matter what, is that your weight loss is still possible. And if you do have some extra fat that you are wanting to lose, you should know that it's possible to lose. Even if you have thyroid issues, even if you have PCOS, your journey might look a bit different, and that's okay. And that's maybe why you'd need the extra assistance. But no, it is so different for everyone. Interestingly, I have, if I look at my female clients specifically, because if we think, everyone's build is different, like you said. So if I've got a lady who's 150 centimeters versus a lady who's 180 centimeters, their weight goals are going to look incredibly different. Mm. I've got some woman whose goal weight, so their ideal weight comes out to 80 kilograms, which for a lot of women would sound like, that would never be mine. Mm. But for them, that is a brilliant, healthy weight. So, yeah, it really is so different for everyone.
You know, the difficulty is obviously what is healthy and what is not healthy. So sometimes, yes, maybe somebody wants to be weight at 50 kilograms, but is not healthy. How does that go down, where you are as a dietitian have to say to the person, yes, that you may end up looking like, I don't know, whoever your superstar is, but that's not really ideal, because you probably would have lost a lot of muscle and it's not healthy for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So good ways to challenge those kind of clients would be to do something called an in-body analysis. So what you do there is you'll be able to pick up how much muscle mass they have. So there you might find individuals, and this might sound offensive, but the scientific term that we use is actually skinny fat. So they are at a normal weight, let's say it's 56 or mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. But their muscle mass is very low and their fat is very high. So then you can show them like, this is like what you're weighing, which is nice. But we really have to pay attention in building your muscle mass. So that's one way of just helping them and guiding them. And then another important way is to do blood tests. So you can send a client to check their cholesterol or even to check things like their blood pressure. And that's also going to give you a glimpse as to how healthy they truly are, not just looking at weight alone.
Gosh, Dr. Kayleen Goodchild is a dietitian, and thank you so much for all those. I really appreciate it. And you will get a podcast if you missed it. I know a lot of you have been asking, you know, will this be available? Yes, it will be. Thank you very much, Doc, and appreciate your time.
Thanks so much, Primalelo. Nice to speak to you.
Nice to speak to you.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.